Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm your host, Karen Miles, and tonight we have Antoinette Zaleski. She is a medium and has a brand new show on GTN Network. So let's all give her a warm welcome. Hello, Antoinette. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, and thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor. It's definitely an honor having you come on tonight. Very excited about finding out about you. So,
well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. If you like, you can tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. Well, I'm a psychic medium. I have been for the past 17 years. I started off after I had my first daughter in 95. I've always been intuitive and just knowing things, but it just started more after I had my daughter in 1995. And then since then, it's just been kicking off. I want to say around 2000, I started becoming more like a, I started getting symbols and then I started seeing like shadows, and then I started seeing just images, apparitions of people, and then now it's full-blown medium. I'm like, wow, okay, that's cool. All right. And it's been interesting. I mean, of course, I have been working on it. You know, I consider myself natural because I don't use any tools to enhance that ability. I mean, I do use tarots if someone says I want a tarot reading, but I don't need them. It just comes and flows when it wants. I mean, it's not, I can't shut it off. It's not like water that you can shut it off. It's very hard to do so, but I enjoy it, and I've had many, many readings over the years, and, you know, when someone says, oh, you know, you predicted that I'm going to have a baby, or, you know, you predicted this or that, it's really good that I've helped that person, and I think that's the whole ordeal of being a psychic medium is helping someone.
Right. I definitely agree with that. Now, was this something that you noticed as a child, that you were developing the ability as a child, or... or was it, like I said, more...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I started seeing anything when I was, like, 8 years old or... But I noticed when I was eight, I used to say to my mother, because we were raised Catholic, and I was like, Mom, I think we're reincarnated. And she's like, I remember her saying, we're not supposed to believe in that because we're Catholic. And then I would always feel like I'm empathic, too, intuitive. So I just know when things were about to happen, or I just knew things. And... you know, I was just telling my husband the other day, I'm like, you know, Mike, if I look back on it, I realize that it's just as me. I've always been like this, and it doesn't seem weird to me because it just seems like the norm, you know?
What has been the most that to have an experience would have been the worst that you've experienced as a medium?
Well, sometimes I have to admit I do get kind of nervous, or I don't want to say spooked, but if I'm not aware of something or I'm kind of nervous about something, if something happens, I'm like, what is that? You know, I'm unaware of it. Or if sometimes I'll be sitting here and I'll see something or something will happen, and it just, I get like a different feeling or something, like a bad energy kind of, like negative. That's the only thing that I think is bad is negative energy that you pick up on.
Right. And do you go out with paranormal teams and use your ability with that, or do you take people that call and ask, request help that way?
Yes. I have not worked professionally with an investigator team because I lived in Europe for 6 years. I'm originally from Massachusetts, and my husband went in the Air Force after we had our two daughters. So we've been traveling around the world, and I did do, when we lived in England, I was a guest medium at the Oxford Castle in Oxfordshire, and I really enjoyed that, and I had a lot of experience from it, and I really enjoyed very much when I did that, because I went to the castle, and I was doing like a ghost tour with the castle itself. But I also learned a lot about, you know, investigating a castle that's haunted. And so I got some experience through that, but I've never been with a paranormal investigating team, and I would love to, but unfortunately, where I live in Louisiana, they're not really optimal to having all this paranormal stuff unless you live down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I knew New Orleans was a big, big spot for a lot of paranormal activity. So I had always wondered if it was kind of spread out through the state or not.
No. I think it's more down in New Orleans because, you know, if you go down to the New Orleans and on Bourbon Street and all those, you'll find, like, a whole bunch of, like, psychic shops, tarot readings and stuff like that, voodoo. But where I live up in the northwestern part of Louisiana. It's not very popular around here at all.
Mm. That's kind of like from where I'm at. It's a very hush-hush type thing. So it's rare to hear someone talk about it, which I myself was surprised that I'd heard some people speaking about some paranormal activity recently. So it was one of those double take things because, you know, I would think Louisiana was probably considered part of the Bible Belt like here. So you have to be very, very careful when you're involved with it. But
you do. And you know what's really interesting, though, because one of the places that we lived besides overseas, we lived in Oklahoma. And actually, I just got contacted by the producer of my ghost story on A&E bio channel. And when we lived in Oklahoma, in Altus, Oklahoma, it's the southern western part of Oklahoma, we actually, me and my family, lived with a ghost in the house that we lived on. So I'm trying to get into that, and with myself as a person, I'm trying to expand myself to be more in the media and be more out there, because I don't mind doing psychic readings per se, but I want to do more and expand it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I do. I know exactly what you're saying. And I find that interesting that you mentioned Altus, Oklahoma, because I lived there for 2 years myself.
Did you?
I did. There and in Bartlesville, Pawhuska. Pretty familiar with the state of Oklahoma, but yeah, Altus. And it's a very spiritual place.
It is a very spiritual and very tribal because of all the Native Americans and stuff. I just didn't like it because there was nothing there on Altus. I mean, it was just absolutely like boondocks, like a ghost town. But if you moved up more to the north, like in Tinker and Tulsa, it had more to do there. But just where I lived, man, I was like, because, you know, I come from Massachusetts and, you know, it's a city. You know, I'm not used to driving 40 miles and then you go to the store and you're like, really? 40 miles? You know, just an example. But I was like, wow, you know, because I would drive at my hometown and it'd be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But, you know, you drive 40 minutes and you're like, wow, how do these people survive here?
Yeah, no, it's unreal. After
it's like,
years,
wow, you know. How do these people live, you know? But, you know, it is a beautiful state, I have to admit, but I don't think I would ever go back there. But anyways, I'm trying to get my story on, and I'm really excited that the producer said, you know, send me in your video, blah, blah, blah. So we're getting there. And so, the paranormal to me is fascinating. It's a big, huge, broad of stuff. I mean, it's not just down in one category. It's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm fascinated with it. But, again, I've never been with any paranormal investigating teams. Have you been with any?
I have, yes. As a matter of fact, I belong to a team from Kentucky and was with them for 4 years before our founder decided to retire. And he did leave the team name to me. I have not started back up a group yet, but I'm considering doing it. It's a lot of work with it, but I enjoy it. Have you been out to the Holy Land in Oklahoma? It's a little bit, probably about 30 minutes above Altus, back towards Lawton.
Holy Lands.
Called the Holy Lands.
No.
Land.
I don't think so.
Well, it's considered sacred ground, so it's real spiritual because it was native land and there's a lot of buffalo and stuff. The energy out there is real, real intense, and that's the reason why
I was asking. I would have to ask my husband. I know we went to a place that was like a museum full of buffaloes, and you saw the buffaloes. But I don't remember anything called the Holy Land. I don't remember that. I just know that we just went to a place and it had tons of buffaloes. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I've never seen so many buffaloes in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice place because it had a museum and stuff. But I've always, learning in high school and stuff in school, we've always known that Oklahoma was a major, you know, for Native Americans and Cherokee and Chaka and all that. So I knew it was very spiritual there. I just didn't know I was going to be living with a ghost. So,
well, do you,
you
want
know,
to talk about your story with the ghost that they're in talks with you about bringing on to the TV show?
Sure, not a problem. Well, we lived on base, like I told you. My husband's in the Air Force, and I am very proud to be a military spouse. I support, anyways, I just want to let you know that. But anyways, we lived in Altus, and we lived on the Altus Air Force Base. Actually, the house, I just found out, it's no longer there.
Oh.
But the house that we, yeah, it's not there anymore. Because I went to go look on Google, and it wasn't there anymore. And I was like, huh, where did it go? They must have torn them down, and they're probably going to rebuild ones. Anyways, and the producer from A&E was like, so you can't go here? And I'm like, well, unfortunately, I just found out that the house is no longer there. I'm like, but I am a military spouse. We're able to go on the base. We probably would just have to talk to the commander or something to get, you know, permission because, you know, if A&E's rolling up, they're probably going to be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, you know, if, huh?
I have to get out there and find no house. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, right. So, anyways, we moved there in about, I want to say, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
My son Josh was probably 2 at the time. And my daughter Natasha, she's my middle daughter, she's probably like 8 or 9. And then my oldest daughter, she was probably like 10-ish. But it was so weird because I don't know if you noticed this or not, because I know you're a spiritual person, but I noticed that if you do have some form of energy in your house, the energy in the house can either be negative or more positive. But with people who are very intuitive, they have, like, it drains their body. I don't know if you know what I mean by that.
I do. And
it drains you. I mean, you can just be sitting there and it just drains your energy and you feel like, wow, I didn't even do anything. I'm exhausted. And I know
I tend to stay that way. I feel drained a lot. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But anyways, I just noticed that more. I was noticing that, and I was like, that is odd. And then, like, I would have certain things that would happen, like, every night. I want to say, like, 6 months later, every night at 12 o'clock, I would hear, like, boots walking in my room. It was the oddest noise. And I didn't get chills. I couldn't see anything, but I could just hear it. Because, you know, when I say I'm a medium, I am a medium, but I'm more of a mental medium. I don't see them like I would be talking to you and seeing you close to close. It's more like I see them in my mind, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah.
But I just heard him. And, I wake up my husband. He's like, it's just a house creak. And I'm like, really? He would say that to me all the time. And I was like, really? I'm like, no, I hear this. Well, anyways, my son would always get out of bed at, like, 2 o'clock every night and start pointing into the attic. And I'm like, why are you out of bed, baby? And he's like, fireman. I'm like, there's no fireman up there. Yes, there is. And I'm like, there's nobody up there. You know, my husband would go up there and look. It would happen continuously that he would wake up out of his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, maybe a week or 2 weeks after, you know, my son started getting out of the bed first time, my middle daughter, Natasha, I would go past her room and she'd be playing Barbies and she'd be talking and there'd be nobody in there. And I'd be like, okay, who are you talking to? Oh, this is my friend, Sarah. I'm like, okay, imaginary friend. I get it. But it wasn't like, it was more. It was more in depth. Like, she would describe to me what the little girl looked like and she'd say, Mommy, she has old clothes, like she was, like, old. And I was like, what do you mean old? Well, she would have those, like, shoes on and she would have this long dress on, and she's like, she just was telling me that her name is Sarah, and you know, she's telling me what she looked like. She had dark hair and stuff, and I was like, okay. Well, it kept on getting more like that, like, you know, just waking up in the middle of the night with my son and me and just hearing the footsteps. I think it was a year before we left, because we left in 2003, maybe in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrapping presents for my kids for Christmas, and my husband was at the computer, and I'm in the kitchen, you know, rapping, and all of a sudden you hear, Daddy, husband turns around, and he's like, go to bed. Like, you know, maybe he thought one of the kids was up. And I'm trying to scrounge all of the, you know, the presents and stuff. I'm like, uh-oh, crap, who's up? And he's like, he ran upstairs, and all the kids were sleeping. And he's like, there was nobody there. And I said to him, I said, see, now you finally believe me that there's somebody here.
Mm. Well, apparently it wasn't really a negative type energy that was in the house, was it?
No, I try to do research because I'm a very researchable person. I couldn't find anything. But from a spiritual perspective, I thought it might have been like, I want to say that the little girl, because the feeling that I get, maybe the little girl lived in the 1940s or maybe 50s in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that maybe she lived there. But I do feel that something happened in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it was a little girl's energy. And I don't know why my son said fireman or firefighter up there. It could have been that a firefighter also died in the house trying to save the people in the house.
That's possible. Were you able to find out if there had been a fire in the house?
No, because it's just, I don't know, being in the military and being a military spouse is not good. You know, you can't go up to somebody in there and say, hey, you know, I think my house is haunted. You know, can you check it out? They kind of look at you like, are you on drugs, ma'am? You know, it's different. I don't know. It's just kind of different, in a different setting, you know. And I was just like, well, you know, that's kind of weird going on. The commander saying, I think there's something wrong with the house. But I think, you know, as I look back, I should have been like, well, what's going on, you know. And I even called a paranormal investigating team. I don't remember their name. And because I took tons of pictures and there's tons of orbs and, you know, and I even sent it to him. And he's like, well, do a test and shake a rug and see and take pictures again and see if it's the same. And I did it and it was totally different. And then I sent him the same pictures and then the pictures of the rug. And he's like, yeah, it's definitely orbs. He's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, well, what should I do? You know, and he's like, well, you know, get an EFMP and sorry, my dog.
Oh, that's okay. I've had mine do that before, being on air, and then all of a sudden they'll just start barking like that.
Sorry about that. I had to go hide. I apologize.
That's all right.
But anyway, so they just tell me to get EFMPs and to see if I can capture anything, and unfortunately I didn't capture anything until we heard that voice, and that was it. And I was like, crap, why didn't I do it with that time? So... But that's my story. I mean, of course, being a psychic medium, I always experience things, but it's different, like, when they come to me instead of living with one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how things, you know, day to day, you know, if something happens, it's normal. It don't, you know, you're really not fazed by it because you do it so much that it's like, well, okay, and you know, just kind of go on about it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but also with the paranormal field, now I've learned, I myself had stuff that happened prior to that, and we were talking earlier about Altus, and I lived in Pawhuska at one point, and I saw a full-body apparition walk through the house, and that really began to pique my own interest in the paranormal field. I was already into it, but not as far as going out and investigating, so I really enjoyed it. But
yeah, but
I was there. I was there around the same time you were. When you were in Altus, I was in Altus.
It's a small world.
It is. I'm surprised.
It's a very small world. You just said that you live somewhere that I live too.
Mhm. And it's just amazing how, you know, we didn't run into each other during that time. And I do believe we have lost her. So if everybody will hold on, I will bring Antoinette back on. See. Antoinette, are you there? Okay, let's call her back and get her back on because we definitely don't want to lose her. This is going to be a real interesting show listening to her talk this evening. She also has a show on GTN, which is going to be a really, really great show for everybody to listen to and watch. I mean, she's a really good person. So I recommend going to GTN and watching that show and the other shows that are also there as well. So we are now trying to get a hold of her. And I don't hear the phone ringing. Oh my gosh. See, okay, guys, hang on. If anybody can hear me, please. We're back. Hold on. I apologize for everybody.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. I think we had a slight tech problem. Because all of a sudden everything just dropped. I couldn't even get the phone to dial. I couldn't hear it at one point.
I was like, hello. I'm like, hello. No one's listening to me. I was like, where'd y'all go? I was like, okay. And then I tried calling back, and it just went to, if you want to talk to the host. I'm like, no. And then you kept on calling, and I was like, hello, and I couldn't hear you.
Oh, wow. See, sometimes Block Talk, we have little text problems, and I'm so glad that was able to get it back up and running. So if there's
well,
a hesitation. You. Oh, you're welcome. I'm hoping that that everybody was able to hear me while I was trying to get you back online, but they may not have been. But that was back to where we talked about. That is a small world, both in and out at the same time, and I'm surprised we didn't run into each other.
I know. I just, you know, sometimes it's not meant to be at that time or certain times or whatever, but it doesn't matter because now it's here and now, and that's all that matters.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And do you want to tell everybody about your new show that's coming out on GTN?
Yeah, I will. I'm also on Blog Talk Radio. It's Psychic Readings with Antoinette, and it's airing Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's free psychic readings. I'm just starting out again doing radio. Like I said, I've been reading for 17 years, but I'm trying to get more into the media. So I'm enjoying doing that. I'm just trying to set it up more and get more motivated to do it. And, you know, I'm also on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. If you like, I can give you that information. You know, so if anybody wants to talk to me on Twitter or Facebook, because I don't have a website yet because I'm still getting that up. It's been crazy. I know everybody's busy. It's just been really crazy for me. So I'm still trying to get that up. But I connected with Richard Pennell over at GTN, and he's such a great man, isn't he?
He is. I think the world of Richard and his wife, Teresa, both. They're awesome people. And they really, GTN is just, I love GTN. So, hands down.
I like it too, and he's been very, you know, very helpful, and, you know, he's, his wife, Tressa, is awesome too, and I'm really blessed to have them, you know, for me to be on there. So it's, you know, I just think, you know, things are coming together where they're supposed to be, and it takes time for everything to kind of entwine together, and that's what's going on.
I agree, you know, and I'm excited. Have you aired on GTN yet, or is that still a debut date?
No, I have been. It's already on GTN.
Okay, well, I will have to go and listen to one of your shows because I've not had the opportunity to do that yet. So I'm looking forward to hearing one of your shows.
Thank
you. Oh, you're welcome. Was there, when you were in Oklahoma, did you have any other experiences other than what happened in the house, or was just it that one in particular?
You mean in Altus? Was that the only thing that happened?
Right, yes.
Or anywhere else that I've lived?
Well, we could talk about all other places, but, you know, I was curious about Altus itself, if that was the only one that you had experienced there around the base other than the other site or location?
No, I have not experienced anything else, not at all. That was the only place that my family and I have experienced. But But again, when we lived over in England, I was, again, like I was involved with the Oxfordshire inside the castle, and I did ghost tours and mediumship readings there. So the, and, of course, it's really haunted over there. But that's the only thing I was involved with. There was nothing else that we occurred during our travels.
Now, have you noticed that some areas tend to enhance your ability versus other locations?
Yeah, I have to say, well, England was very spiritual for me. Germany wasn't. I didn't get a lot of from there. I get a lot of energy from wheels, believe it or not. I think I have one of my past lives as wheels because I just absolutely, when I went there, it just felt like I belonged there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure if a lot of people believe in that or not, but I've always felt that we do have past lives. And for some reason in Wales, I've always felt that it was, you know, that I was meant to be there.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like me with Arizona. I went to Arizona, and it was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know, and same thing. I know what you're saying. It was almost like I had been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it, you feel at home, basically.
Yeah, I did, and it felt really, you know, it felt good to be there. It felt, you know, like I should be there. I mean, I did a lot of traveling in Europe, and that was the only one that I felt really comfortable with was Wales. I thought it was Ireland, but it was actually Wales. But I just noticed, like, I don't know, I mean, I know there's different places, you know, if you move and you feel different places at certain areas, but it was just majority there. Just in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. where we had the experience.
Hmm. Oklahoma tends to be, what are you talking about, very spiritual. It is very spiritual. I've always wondered about the base because I knew there was so much that went on out there. I had wondered about paranormal activity. And I wonder if that was the only house that was experiencing it or maybe there were several more besides your own experience that may have been going through the same thing with different apparitions possibly.
I'm not, you know, I never asked anybody. That's a good question. I never have asked anybody. I know a lot of people do a lot of investigations in Oklahoma. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Massachusetts, where I'm from, there's a lot of activity there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
now, there's. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say that if you. Never been to New Mexico. New Mexico is a good place for a lot of experiences because that's also a real spiritual state.
Mm-hmm.
I've
never been there, but I know my husband went there. He didn't say anything. He went to, what is that place where all the UFO stuff is?
Roswell.
Roswell, yes. He went there, but I don't think he encountered anything, paranormal. But again, I don't know. I've never been there yet. I would like to go there and see what it's all about, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Roswell. I've been through Roswell. I didn't experience anything there either, but it has
mm-hmm.
been several years. But Taos, now that is another, that area that's very active there. It was so active that when I was there that, you know, I ended up leaving because of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
It was
so what
kind
did
of
you get there? What was the energy like? Was it just kind of like negative or was it positive or?
It's probably a mixture from the way it
yeah.
felt. But spiritual-wise, where I was at, I was told prior that I would have experiences in this house in particular, and I did. I had more experiences in that house than I've had the whole time that I was in the paranormal field. So,
okay.
Yeah, they were coming through, and you would hear it was a big adobe house, and at night, you would hear the popping and the cracking and all that, and you could feel them coming through. And I was so drained after a week of going through that, I was like, I can't take this. You know, I'm so worn out.
Yeah, it's really weird to see how the energy kind of manifests on you and sucks you. It's just like, I don't know, I call it not a psychic vampire, but like a energy vampire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's true. It wears you down so bad. You just don't feel like you have any energy the next day. And you don't have to be up.
No, you don't.
And you don't have to be. I said, you don't even have to be up to feel it. I mean, you wake up the next morning and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm so tired. I had circles. I was getting circles under my eyes. It was so bad. But it was a good experience, though, you know.
Yes, and it is. But, you know, it's really because I've been doing readings for so long, and you have to, just one thing that I do recommend to people is you have to, you have to block yourself. You have to, like, surround yourself because you can get negative spirits. And while I was in Altus, I'm sorry, it just came to my head. I apologize. Sometimes it just things just pop in the head. When I was there, I was doing a reading for a woman, and her son was possessed. Seriously.
Oh my God.
Was possessed, and I'm going, I don't know what to do. So, you know, wherever I go, like I told you, I did an investigation of ghost touring in England, and I brought my rosary beads. That's my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought them with me, and he was just a totally different person, and it was kind of freaky because I was like, I don't know what to do for him. What do you do? I didn't have any experience, and then I was like, you need to bring him somewhere because he's obviously not in the right kosher and he is possessed. He wasn't like, you know, flipping backwards and, you know, spooning his head around. You could just tell that it wasn't him.
Right.
And that was very scary because I was like, I can't help him. I don't know what to do. But to find out later, she brought him to some woman in Oklahoma City that was able, I think it was a Native American woman or some sort, that was able to release that energy from him. So at the end of it, it was good.
Well, at least that was a good ending because there's you know, the rare few that don't get that ending because, you know, there's a thing called a perfect possession. And once they're in perfect possession, you know, there's nothing anybody can do for them. You know,
yeah.
No matter how many times they do an exorcism or what have you, it keeps coming back. So I'm glad that was a good ending for that boy.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of scary to talk on that, but, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, there's no such thing as that. It's like, yeah, there is. Why do you think that you hear about, you know, so many stories and so many people that actually turn into movies about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was actually from documentaries from people who actually were involved in that.
And that's true. And the only way, and I've had to look at it this way, for other people to actually believe that this is real, they have to experience something in order to say, okay, did I just see this or did I just hear that? But, you know, I personally don't recommend anybody going out and looking for it. You know, you don't want to look for it.
No, you don't. And when you are around it's very scary because if you're not a professional, you can become that same way as that person already is.
Exactly.
You
and
know?
Even the best can have problems with it. I mean,
exactly.
You know, demonic, you know, those are really bad cases. I've not had to deal with a demonic case because our former founder would not let the females go out and deal with a case like that because he felt like he was protecting us as a team, you know, the girls and the team, because he didn't want to put us in that position because he had already dealt with something like that prior. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, like I said, we traveled a lot. I mean, I've been to beautiful places and, you know, I've been to a lot of spiritual places, but I haven't had any encounters like I had in Oklahoma. And I think that if I went back there, I probably would probably encounter more because I've become more spiritual as a person. And, you know, if you are, it seems, I don't know if you notice this or not, but if you become more spiritual, it seems like things always come out and pop out at you more, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh, it does. It does. And you notice a lot more too. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not just you know, you'd be driving down the road or something, and then you get a sense of something, and you're like, you know, because I've done that a few times myself. I mean, I was told about a location that's not too far from here, and they told me the story about it, and I said, okay, I'll go see. So I drove down and went to where it was at and went driving down the road, got so far, and I'm like, well, I don't know where it is. It's supposed to be a story about a person on a horse. It was a ghost of a person riding a horse, but they didn't know what it was, what had actually happened there. And kept looking for it, and I was like, okay, well, I don't even know where it's at. I know it's down this road because there's nothing but trees and everything. And I'll probably go 5 miles into it, and all of a sudden I get this flash, and all I could see was this long flowing tail off of a horse. So it was kind of a, I don't know if it was a paint or what have you, but the tail was white. And
really?
I caught that. Mm-hmm. So I know about where it was. I don't know what caused the death or whatever that happened to this person in the horse, but I know about what area it is because I had that happen. And that's how I usually get mine. You know, I'll have like a flash or something. That's the best way to explain it. So.
Yeah. I mean, like the other day here where I live, I'm still trying to figure out what it means, but I never had this experience before as a psychic. I never have. And my son was sick, probably a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was. Maybe someone can explain this to me. But my son was sitting at the computer in our breakfast nook that we have in our kitchen, and I was walking by, and I saw a shadow, black shadow. It just looked like a figure of a person, and it just went right through my wall, and I was like, I don't know what that is. And it was the shape of a person, but it didn't have any clothing or any materials on it. And I, to this day, I'm like, I don't know what that was. I couldn't explain to you what that is.
That sounds like a shadow person to me. They are the type that you get kind of a glimpse of them. And even for paranormal investigators, we really don't know what their reason are. But occasionally you do see them. And you're lucky if you can actually see those.
I don't think most people can. I saw it, and I was like, what the? And I looked it online, and some people are like, oh, it's demonic. And I'm like, oh, I don't want it in my house. You know, my house is free of stuff that I am aware of. And, you know, of course I wake up, and I have, like, an example. I woke up one morning, scared the jeebs out of me because I wasn't expecting it. But there was a man next to me sitting next to me wearing a, like a Hawaiian shirt with no head.
Oh, my gosh.
But you couldn't see the head. You could just see, like, below his torso, and, like, he was sitting down. And I looked, and I rolled over, and I go, can I help you? And the minute I said it, he disappeared. Like, he was not there anymore. And I was like, okay, so you come to me for me to help, but then you disappeared.
I wonder if maybe he wasn't, maybe a residual.
I'm not too sure what he was, but when they come to me, they usually come and say, can you help me do this, or can you help me with this, or if I'm reading, they'll come through. But I never had that experience, those two experiences with the shadow person or that. And it was quite interesting. I was like, wow, that is getting more and more intense. Because, you know, like I said, I'm a mental medium, but it's more that I'm able to see more now. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool that it's manifesting into that and how much I've developed into that. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if you noticed this, but I've noticed that a lot of people who are wanting to become more spiritual, they're like, well, how can you, and how do you go about it? And what I recommend to people is meditating. I don't know if you meditate or not, but I've noticed that helps a lot to kind of move things forward.
I do sometimes, especially when I feel like I need it. I'll meditate, and it does help. I do want to tell you this. Remember when we were talking earlier prior to this that you said that I would be receiving a phone call?
Uh-huh.
Well, my phone call just come in.
Really?
Uh-huh. I've not. I'll have to call back, though, but I did get that phone call.
Really? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to let you know how
now,
that
leave
goes.
Me on the phone to see what happens, because I have to know.
Okay.
Well, not all the details, if you know what I mean, but just to know the situation, what was going on.
Right. I will definitely call you back after once we finish.
Yeah. No, I think that's fascinating because with that situation, I totally thought something was going to come about that conversation that we were having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of thrilled that brightens my night because I had my phone set on silent and just happened to catch it. It lit up, and when I looked, and that was who it was. I was like, oh, great. This is great.
Well, good for you.
I'm thrilled. But
good.
What about other locations? Have you been out to Arizona or anything like that?
No, I have not. I'm sorry you're going to hear something, so I apologize, but it's very hot here where I live. And I swear to God, I've been drinking like a camel or something. So if you hear something loud, I apologize, but I'm just trying to get something.
Oh, that is quite okay. I understand it was 104 here today, so it's been pretty hot. And I
it's been pretty hot here, too. So it's been like, I think all last week was like in the hundreds. Like 104.
That's what it was today. When I got in my car, it was 104 degrees inside my car.
It was very hot today. No, I have not been to Arizona. That's one place that I like to go to. And another area, I don't know what it is, but I really want to go to Colorado and Wyoming.
Oh, I know. Wyoming is a great place. I've been there. I've been to Colorado, Arizona. I've done a lot of traveling, too. But Arizona and New Mexico are, like, really super, super spiritual locations. I think you would probably pick up a great lot of stuff out there if you went, I'm pretty sure.
I probably would, but isn't there, don't quote me on this because I'm not very good with history, but I'm assuming that they have maybe a lot of Native American Indians in that area, too?
They do. Pretty much in the Four Corners, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Wyoming, there are a lot of Native people up there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff. I mean, I believe in the ways. I've done a lot of studying. And I think that when it comes down to it, they probably know a lot more about it than we do.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would love to, you know, get involved more in the spiritual way of the Native Americans. But, you know, like I've been doing my family history of genealogy for the past 15 years. And, you know, I have some Native American, but it's not enough to say, okay, I can go to a reservation and be involved in that, but it just seems lately that I'm becoming more interested in the Native American spiritual path. I don't want to say more of their religion, but just how they live and, you know, learn some from them, I think would be a quite interesting, I want to say, experience.
It is. And, you know, and that's the same with myself. I do have Native bloodline and very proud of it. Not sure exactly as to how much, but I think with having psychic abilities or, you know, you tend to be more so because you're more closer to everything. And that's how
exactly.
I look at it. And it's amazing to be able to experience that because there's a lot of people that don't, you know, and they have no idea what, you know, you can sense from day to day or you pick up. Arizona, we were, and this has been years ago, but we were out there and I was driving home one night by myself and I had another little deja vu, well, I'll call it deja vu or flash, whatever, but come around the curve. And I didn't know that there was a cross there, had never paid any attention to it, but I saw a dark-haired woman, her hair was matted on her head, and knew she had a head injury. Well, it bothered me. Went back the next day and there was a cross in that area, and it ate at me, and finally, it was like 2 or 3 months before I got stopped, and there were three names. It was two men and a woman, And the only words I said was you will not be forgotten. And that's probably been about 10 years.
Wow.
Since I've been out there. And I haven't forgotten that. And it went away. It was like, okay, you know, this is what I wanted. I didn't want to be forgotten. So you won't forget me. So now I don't feel like I have to reach out to you now. And I never did have that anymore. It didn't bother me after that. I could drive by it. And it got to the point that I didn't even pay attention to it after that. But I knew she was there.
Yeah, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
I'm not
sad
even
when you're...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm not even really sure as to what happened, and I don't know if it was actually the woman who had her name on that cross. I felt like it was somebody else, that maybe something bad worse happened to him. Maybe it wasn't a car wreck. It just gave me the impression that someone had been, I don't know, murdered. That's what I got from it. And she
could have been, because the impression I got, it was like, because I also, currently I just joined a group called findme2.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helping, it's a website called findme2.com, and it's a company that works with missing people in homicide cases. And
mm-hmm.
I work with psychics, and I also work with mediums, and I work with retired, like, police officers and detectives. And whatever cases we get, we have to try to find out where they're at and to do
mm-hmm.
remote viewing. And some of the cases I had, I'm like going, ooh, this is really hard, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're trying to find out where that person is and try to, you know, give the correct coordinates and everything because, you know, one of the cases I had, I was like, I don't know any place in Canada, but the thing that came to me was Route 80 or Route 88 it was, and I was like, I don't even know where Route 88 is. And I looked it up online, and I'm like, and there was Route 88, and I was like, okay. So that's what I wrote down in the coordinates, and it was a gentleman, actually, that passed away, and that's where his coordinates were, was in that area.
Oh,
in
wow.
In the woods, that area. So... that's what I work with. So when things happen, like if someone says, okay, we have a person that died a specific date, and why I brought that up, because it goes to what I was going to tell you from my impression. I felt like the woman wasn't murdered. I felt like she died with these two other men, and I feel like I think she died before they did, and it's like she died instantly, and she had head trauma, like you
mm-hmm.
said.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like her body, too, like, Maybe her chest or something got crushed or something. There was something with her chest as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I seen her, it was like she was in a fetal position. She was balled up, and all I could see was the side of her head and her face. And I knew she was dark-haired, dark-skinned, and dark-eyed. That I knew. But I wasn't quite sure, and I couldn't exactly tell what she was in, but I knew that she was kind of laying like a balled up, like, you know, in a fetal position like a baby would.
Yeah, I felt that she, I want to say it was her and two other people. I don't think she was in the car with them. I feel it was like her and then two other people.
Hmm.
That's what I'm picking up, and I do feel that she did die of head trauma and something with her chest, too. And the
mm-hmm.
other man, I feel that they died in that area as well. So I don't know if they had a car wreck or anything.
Well, there was a cross there on the side of the road, so that's what I'm assuming happened was a car wreck. But I felt like maybe she had been earlier than that car wreck. And that was the reason why I said what I did, because it didn't feel like she was actually one of the ones that was on there, but it's a possibility.
Yeah. I just feel that's what I'm picking up from her, because I felt like it wasn't like, you know, 200 years ago. It was just recent, maybe within the last maybe 20 years, 15, 20 years.
Now, I do have something else, and I don't mean to change the subject. I wanted to ask you about this, since you were talking about the doing cold cases and stuff. There is a 5-year-old case I'm familiar with this woman. I knew her. Didn't know her personally. I had not met her, but she was a friend. I had talked to her online and had talked to her on the phone. Well, 5 years ago, her house burned, and they found her six-week-old baby dead in the house, and she has never been heard from.
Aww.
Yeah, it's been
sad. That just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah, that breaks my heart.
It does me, too. I had spoke with her, like, 24 to 48 hours before that fire. And I'm bothered by it because I don't think what they think happened. I think it was completely, totally something different. I don't think she had anything to do with that baby's death.
Uh-huh.
But,
Was it a girl?
It was a boy.
Okay.
There are two little girls. She had two girls.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Okay, thank you. It was a little boy, 6 weeks old, just two little girls. What was her name?
Joey.
Okay. Do you have any pictures of this woman?
I would have to go online to get those pictures.
Yeah, if you don't mind, send me some pictures on her, and I can try to, if you ask me questions about it, or maybe I can pick up any information about it, then I'll be able to help you with that. But I just get girls around her. I just get that something to do with a man involved. I don't know if it was a strange husband. I don't know, but I get a man around the situation why it happened. I don't know if he, like, did something to, you know, maybe he was smoking a cigarette or did something, but it was like, I don't feel it was accidental. I did it. I feel like it was purposely. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Uh-huh. I do. There was a fire set in the basement and a fire set in the upstairs bedroom, one of the upstairs bedrooms.
Okay. And I don't think it's the kids. I don't think the kids did it.
Mm-mm.
I think it was a man of some sort, a strange husband, a strange person, man. Because
mm-hmm.
I get a man involved.
Mm-hmm. There is a man that's involved that has not been, and I personally feel that he had everything to do with it. He is the father of that baby.
Okay.
One of the daughters.
Okay, yeah, I definitely do feel it has to do with a man, a strange husband, it's a man that did this purpose, and I feel that it was like, I don't want to be rude, but I feel like he didn't want the baby. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that he was either mad or it was like he was trying to revenge against this person. And it's really mm-hmm. sad because that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm picking up so far. But, like, again, if you sent me over any pictures or anything, I'd be glad to help you with that.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll go to one of the pages. I'll send you a link. To where you can go and see, because she's got several. They have several pictures of her, but nobody's heard anything from her, and it's been 5 years. There's some other things that I can tell you about later off air
uh-huh.
that's not out there, but that I learned because we've been real close with the police on it, because there was four or five of us that... they've questioned, myself included. So, but I'll give you a little bit more information after the show.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't. Pictures do well because with the cases I get, I don't get any information about it. I just get they went missing. They show me the picture, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
They just ask me, you know, this is when the person went, this is what hole the person is, and this is where the person was last seen, and they just show me a picture, and I go from there.
Okay.
So I guess it's like less more information I have, the more I can try to pick it up, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'll pull a picture, and I'll send you just a picture.
Yeah, I it's because, you know, if I start getting more involved in, like, you know, I want to say earthly stuff of trying to figure out what it is, then it's going to mess me up.
Mm-hmm.
If I just pick it up naturally without any hoaxing or anything involved in that, then I'll be able to do it much. Because, you know, I mean, at second meeting, we all have the, oh, you know, how what this is where I'm going in this now. You know how people say there's no such thing as it, or it's all hoax. You know, I'm tired of hearing about that. I don't know about you, but I think now, today in society, I think people are more understanding about it. But there's still people out there that are, no, it's not real. It's not true. So for me as a psychic medium, I try to sway from that of trying to say, look, I'm for real. This is it. So that's what where I'm going with why I said just send me the picture. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I definitely know what you mean. I was in a location in Kentucky and had a nun tell me I needed to have an exorcism performed on me.
You know, that brings it up. This is funny. You're going to start laughing. I'm getting my bachelor's in psychology because I've always been intrigued in the mental state of people. I don't know why. But and then I'm going to finally get my master's in clinical psychology. I think I'm just going to stop there. But anyways, I was asked because I had to take an abnormal psychology class. This is, you'll understand where I'm going with this. And, of course, I'm very curious, and I'm like, you know what? I've always thought people who have schizophrenia, multiple personalities, I always thought that they had some possession or some form of paranormal problems with them. Because, you know, yes, it could be scientifically, you know, psychological.
Mm-hmm.
But every single person that I've talked to who does paranormal investigations will say, they will say, okay, we try to rule out psychological disorders. But then we have to go with the paranormal. Have you noticed that?
I do, yes. And you know, and it's you do have to look at that because there are the few cases that you get that are psychological. And then you're able to tell them, okay, we think this is what this is because we've done everything to rule out all the other possibilities before we give you this decision on what needs to be done. And we're actually able to help others, you know, because it's important. I mean, you don't want someone that's schizophrenic or whatever to, you know, be out there and maybe cause harm to themselves or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good having these paranormal teams because, you know, you do have people that are in these groups that have that type of training. They're able to pretty much see what's going on with it by the way they answer your questions. And the main thing that I found with paranormal investigating, someone that has a true haunting, for the most part, will tell you, people are going to think I'm crazy, or you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know right then, okay, they think this about themselves, but they don't want you to think it, but yet they need help and they want you to come in and do an investigation. And then it makes them feel better because 9 times out of 10, you're going to find something. But
exactly.
People don't understand that even with paranormal investigating, you could go to one location 8, 9, 10 times, and it'd be that last time you go that you're going to get something because they don't react on command, basically.
Yeah. So, no, I understand that. But I asked my professor, and I said, you know, because like I said, I was taking an abnormal psych class, and we're learning about all the abnormal psychological things that you have, like I just said, like paranoia, schizophrenia, you know, personality disorders, multiple personality disorders. And I found that very intriguing. And I did ask her, you know, how do you know that these people don't have possessions or some religious aspects? And
mm-hmm.
She's like, that's true. Because, you know, if you think of psychology, you think of a scientific norm of that. Well, you know, she clearly stated, you know, I do feel that some issues might have problems with that. That's why we have the transition from psychology to parapsychology, because
mm-hmm.
those psychologists try to find the means why people are, you know, paranormal and stuff like that. So it was kind of interesting to get that point from a professor who is a clinical psychologist and has a PhD, what her
mm-hmm.
opinion was on that. And, you know, my friend, who's also a psychic medium as well, she thinks the same thing. She's like, yeah, I think they're, you know, not all cases, but in some situations. How do you know? You don't know. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We don't know.
Exactly. And unfortunately, for paranormal investigators, it's not considered a science, which it really needs to be, because if it was, then we could do more in our study of this field. And we could probably do, you know, we could do a lot more good than what we do, but we do help people. you know, and then, you know, you just weed out, you have to weed out who's telling the truth and who just thinks it's exciting to have somebody come to their house and do an investigation, you know.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's a big thing.
Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, the whole field about it is just totally intriguing to me. And, you know, the people who do paranormal investigations, you know, it's not, it's time consuming. I've heard from thousands, you know, of people that do it. It's time consuming.
It's very time consuming. You have hours of audio and video and pictures, and, you know, you weed out what's a dust, you know, and what's an actual orb and what's a bug, you know, just one thing after the other.
Exactly.
So it takes days to do that work. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was the researcher of my group, so, I mean, my work was cut out for me because not only did I have to go over my pictures and my audio, but I was also doing the research. And, you know, it takes days to do that. I had one case I spent 6 months on because there was just so much that was involved with the case, and it was a 40-year-old case. But I learned a lot about it and was able to talk to a family member of this particular individual that they refused to talk to anybody about, because it caused so much problems for them, and they were telling me stuff about it, and I learned a lot about the case, which was a very sad case, because in the end, this person committed suicide because he couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. Well, that's like I always leave examples, or, you know, lead into examples, because that's my way of explaining it, for me to communicate it, but, you know, that's like, I'm sure you've seen the movie Sixth Sense, and, you know, it's like a little boy who was a medium, and the psychologist who was played by Bruce, what the heck is his last name?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, thank you. He didn't believe in that, because he got shot, and he was a ghost himself, and then he came back. And, you know, the boy could see him, but he thought he was still alive. But anyways, he went back in one of his cases, and he realized, oh, crap, I thought the kid had schizophrenia, which I'm going back to again, but actually he was actually a medium.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back to what I was discussing before, I do think, in all, that some people do have that situation. And, you know, it's very sad, because people will get stuck in that, and, you know, the doctors will think, oh, they're just, you know, basically unhealthy and unwell, and let's just put them on a medication. And I think that's why some people opt them have suicidal and do that, because no one will listen to them, you know. And now that we have all the paranormal investigating teams that you hear about, and I just think it's great that people are doing more and more and helping people in that way.
I agree, you know, and I think it's good in a lot of ways that, you know, there's so many teams out there that are taking the time to actually help people, because being in the paranormal and experiencing paranormal is very real. You hear a lot of people that don't believe it, and that's fine. Again, you have to experience it yourself before you can actually say you believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, there's a lot of things out there that people are not aware of, and they do need to understand, you know, that it's definitely real. I mean, we deal with this on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And, it's just, you know, it just, once you start experiencing it, and I had someone say this on a previous show, and once you get into that field and you're there, they literally, they know you. So it doesn't matter whether you get out of it and stop or not. You're going to get visited sometime or another. There'll be, you know, a spirit come through. And they do it because they want help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them, and some of them don't even understand why they're, you know, don't even realize they're dead, like in that movie with Bruce Willis. So.
Yeah, no. I mean, majority of the time when I do readings, and I do have, you know, a person that comes through majority of the time it's because that person is giving information to the person that's asking about it. But when it just comes out of the blue, the majority of the time that I've had experience is because they want help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you are a paranormal investigator, you will have something that comes to you and you will have that experience because you're working with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, one, I'll tell you, this is what happened with my daughter and I one night. I lived in Somerset, Kentucky. Somerset is on a battlefield.
Okay.
And there's about 500 miles of battlefield. It was actually the last one when the surrender of Appomattox took place. Well, we lived on one street, and we moved over by, I think it was two streets down. And at the first house, my daughter kept talking about this her bedroom. She didn't like that bedroom. She said there was something in it. And we had someone that had come and stayed a few days, and he was like, okay, I saw a child. Well, when I started finding out, there was, a child had heard, I found out there were more stories about the sighting of a child. And they said that this little girl, this other girl, woman's daughter, said she would speak to this little child. And the child said she died of snake bites. Well, with the way that Somerset was and where the location was, they had Burnside. Burnside was the site of a large Chickamauga Cherokee campsite. So there was a lot of natives there, and then I'm sure they were all over the area, but they also endured a massacre among themselves. So in a lot of traditions, or well, I'm going to say traditions, but way back in time, they would actually throw snakes and kill, you know, like a rattlesnake or something. That was how some of the natives done. And I don't know if that's what happened to her, if she went out or what, but it was a snake bite.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. But I never really had any problems with it. I got aggravated with it one night because you could hear the knocking on the wall. I was the only one in the house, and I was in my living room, and I knew there was nobody in my bedroom, but you could hear the knocking on the wall. I started to doze off, and then thump, thump, thump. It waked me up, and I was like, yeah, I'm like, really? And I started to call. Yeah. But it's funny.
Yeah, I've had that, and you're just like, what do you want? Leave me alone. You want to tell me something? Just tell me something, you know?
Well, this, it kept on going. This was kind of funny. Well, my daughter called me. I raised up, and I said, please, just let me go to sleep. You know, it's late. I'm going to go to bed. Stop. Well, it wasn't just a few minutes later. She was over at a friend's house. She called me screaming, Mom, I took a picture. There's a face in the TV. And I was like, what? I was like, okay, you've probably got your own face. And she said, no. She said, I wasn't in it. She said, I just took and snapped it. And she said, I was at an angle and I caught this picture. Well, she brought it home. And I looked at it. And it was not any face of any of those kids that were there. And I figured that whatever it was traveled from our house to where she was. And it scared her. It scared all of them, actually. And they were hearing, she said they were hearing noises all night, but she was staying with a friend whose father was also in the paranormal field. And we've gotten a lot of that, but when we moved from that house up to the other one, it was pretty quiet. But we had these loud banging noise one night. It was loud enough that my neighbor thought that I was nailing on the wall. And it wasn't. It just echoed all the way through the house. And she's in the other room, and she's like, Mom, what is that? And I said, I don't know, because I thought someone was outside. Well, I called the police. They come and look. There was snow on the ground. There was no footprint anywhere in my backyard, because it's where it sounded like it come from. They were in the back and in the kitchen part. But there was no footprints out there. And it wasn't too long after that I saw a partial apparition of a man in my living room. And that's scary when you wake up. I know it's very, very scary. So when you were talking about yours that you rolled over and seen on side of your, sitting on side of your bed, that's scary because you don't expect it sometimes.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, it's when you get in that field and that stuff, mm-hmm. it just seems you have energy that kind of, you know, goes with it. So I totally agree with you that you can linger and have stuff that, you know, will stick with you.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, we've had, now I had a friend that passed away a year and a half ago, and I was very upset when this happened. And my daughter, myself, my mother, and a friend of hers were in the living room. I had walked back in. I'd been in my bedroom for the most part of the day because I'd just sat and cried. But I come back in and I told him the only thing I want is for him to be happy. You know, I didn't want him in pain no more. And right after I said that, my front door opened. Just,
oh, wow.
Right. So, you know, I do get those experiences. I haven't had a great lot here lately. It's been pretty quiet, so I'm kind of waiting.
Yeah, I haven't had any random experiences except the ones that I just told you. But I think, like I told you, I think when you have and you work in that field, you are going to get some things that are going to attach to you. And that's why I said in the beginning, it's always good to kind of block yourself or shield yourself. And I have asked investigators, you know, what do you do? You know, is there certain things that you do? And they have told me they do try to shield themselves and block themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you can't always do that, though. I mean, especially if you're in the middle of it. You have to have some, I think you have to have some sort of sense about it instead of having to block it. That way you're more in tune with what's around you.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, then you're not going to experience anything. But I think the blocking it after you go home or your protection, whatever you do to protect yourself is good. Because you definitely don't want them coming home with you, depending on what it is.
No, you don't. Mm-mm.
No, I've seen some pretty rough stuff out there. I've not seen anything on the demonic side of me at all. And I'm glad. Because I don't think that, I don't know if I would be prepared to deal with something like that.
Yeah.
Because of the stories that I've heard. But, you know, it just, I don't know, maybe one of these days we'll have to get together sometime and maybe go out on an investigation. That would be
fun. You know what, I would love that because I've never been on I never have been able to experience that. I mean, there is a paranormal team here in Louisiana, and it's, you know, they're well popular, but I have not been able to go with them because, you know, they're not really per se looking for new members but I do know that the team investigator is wanting me to go look at this woman's house here in Louisiana where I live and to look at her attic, but he's been crazy with work and stuff that he hasn't had the time to go do that. But that's the only thing. And I've been really, really wanting to go do that. But it's like, well, what do? You know?
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, you, the team that I belong to, we always would take people out that we would do events. And that's how we would let people come in. But, you know, if we had a private home, per se, we didn't get out and let them go to something like that. But I think it's good for teams to do that and bring people along and give them the chance to experience something.
Yeah.
But we'll have to do that because, like I said, I travel a lot and currently trying to set something up for Georgia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I wanna go down to Savannah, do some investigating down there. But
that would be kind of neat to go down to Savannah and do that because, you know, I've heard that Savannah is haunted and has some haunted places.
Uh huh. It's very haunted. We had we experienced that there was a jailhouse down there that I got to go to, and I thought it was pretty interesting because they had aside the fact that you could stand at the bottom of the steps and hear them talk. And there was nobody up there was pretty interesting. I enjoy it. I get very excited about stuff like that. But they, there was an old hearse, one of the horse-drawn hearse that was in this because they'd made a museum out of it. And we were back there, and I was taking pictures from that. But at one point, I could smell fresh dirt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and which was, I thought was kind of odd. I didn't expect that, but I smelled it, and I think a couple others that was there also smelled it about the same time I did.
Mm-hmm.
But it smelled just like fresh dirt, fresh dug dirt.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think I would find that very interesting to go and do that, and that would be really nice. I would enjoy that very much so.
Okay. Well, if I get this set up down in Savannah, I will let you know. I'm going to hope for the end of summer to go do this, and it will be a four-day investigation.
That's yeah, that would seem really cool. I would really like to do that. Yeah, not a problem at all. Just let me know the time and date, and I'm sure I'll be able to meet the accommodations and go and do that. That sounds really great. I like that idea. Get away from the family. That sounds good. Anytime, right?
It is. It's fun. I enjoy getting out. I have my daughter's almost grown, so you know I'm starting to get out there and do a great lot. You know, a lot more than what I did. But yeah, even she
How old
wants.
Is your daughter?
She'll be 16 in September.
Okay. Yeah, I have three. My youngest is 13, and my oldest will be 18, and January. And my middle daughter, Natasha, will be 16 August. So mine are getting older too.
Yeah, it feels so much different when they're much older.
Yes, it does, because, you know, they can wash themselves and they can do all that nifty stuff that you had to do, and you're like, yes, you know?
True. It does feel good because, you know they can cook for themselves if they want. You don't have to cook as much.
Well, wait a minute. That's just like, you know, if some of them don't try to burn down the house.
Right. I guess
you know
I get
mine
good. Yeah, she does pretty good with cooking. Now, every now and then, you know, I have to go put the fire out, but, you know, not often. She's case, though. But, I would love to be able to even do some investigating here in Virginia, but I am not sure where to start as far as finding locations here to do. But, you know, there's a lot of different places and stuff. There's one in Williamsburg, Virginia, that I'm very aware of, thanks to a friend of mine up there.
I remember going to it in Yorkshire. No, Yorktown.
Uh-huh.
In Virginia, that's where the battlefield is, the Yorktown battlefield.
Uh-huh.
That's supposed to be haunted.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I know Williamsburg is full. It's real haunted. There's a lot of old houses and stuff, and they're very
mm-hmm.
haunted. There's an old plantation that's not too far from her, and she said you can go out there and you can hear them. It's really, really bad. And that there was a man that had bought this, and for whatever reason, there was an old cemetery on it, and her son was walking at the edge of the water because it was an embankment, and then there was water down below. But they were down below walking down by the water, and they found headstones.
Really?
Where they had took these headstones up and tossed them over the side. And it was an old slave cemetery.
Where was this located at in Virginia?
It's in Williamsburg.
Okay.
I'll have
She might be talking about, I can't think of the person's name, but I think I know what she's talking about because we went there to go visit the plantation there.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of it. I can't think of it right now.
I can't either.
I think I know what she's talking about, though, because there is a plantation there.
Mm-hmm.
The first settlers came there.
Mhm. It actually sits on a crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's crossroads where it's at. But they were tearing down stuff. The old slave quarters, they were tearing them down. They dug up the headstones and were doing away with them. And I don't understand that. I mean, it's a cemetery. It doesn't, you know, you remove the headstones, it doesn't take away who's there. Their bodies are still there and they should be left in peace. But she said that the activity was kicking because of all that.
Well, I do know that from being from Massachusetts, and the one thing that I never did do when I was living there, I never was able to go to Salem. And Salem is supposed to be full of all that energy and stuff.
I
like to go up there one time, and if I can, I go up there and do an investigation myself, because that would be really a cool kick place to go do it.
It would. It would. I have always been interested in Salem, too. I'm fascinated by, I've been fascinated by the witch trials, which I'm not sure exactly why I had the fascination with it, but I do have a real fascination with that, and I definitely want to go.
Now, do you feel, I know you're the host, but I have a question for you. Do you ever feel that in some of these areas that you've had sensations or intuitive feelings of, or even, you know, seeing, you know, ghosts or spirits, do you feel that maybe you had a past life from there?
It's possible. It's possible. I've talked about the Salem trials, you know, quite often, and I've told others, you know, if I'd been there, they would have, I would have been one of them, you know, simply because of my hair and eye color, you know, and I've often wondered if maybe that hadn't been what happened.
Could have been.
You know, and it'd be something I would like to, you know, to find out.
Yeah. Well, I know there's tons of hypnotic people that can actually do that for past life regression. I would love to go to one, actually, if I could afford it, but, you know, I would love to find out, you know. But it's actually, I don't know if you heard about this or not. I didn't hear about it until recently. I just always assumed it was past life or, but they're calling it different now. It's called the aesthetic or asteristic records.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I've heard that. I'll have to look that up.
I'm pronouncing it wrong because it's called the Asteretic or Asteratic Records.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, someone who's actually psychically trained in it, they're able to go back in your past life and tell you, and your records, because, you know, we have records of, you know, what we're supposed to do and stuff like that. I'm sure you're aware of all the books that psychic Sylvia Brown, if she's fake or not, she's the one that first came out with all these names for the records and stuff. So
right.
It's quite interesting. Look it up. It's supposed to tell you, like, all your past lives that you had, so it's pretty cool. And I had a reading by a woman that did that, and it was really interesting. So maybe you should look it up and see. It's quite interesting.
I will definitely do that. Now, I wanted to bring something up about dreams. I don't know if you do this, but I do. I know that a dream is significant when I don't see myself in a dream. If I'm in that dream and I'm watching it through my own eyes, then I know that there's a significant reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 or 3 years ago, about 2 years ago, I was doing research on Titanic. Well, I dreamed that I was down in the bowels of that boat, or that ship, I should say, and I could see the walls. So the idea was like a kind of a light-colored wood that was down off in there, and I'm not sure what level I was on, but I was down in underneath. Well, people were running. And I'm standing there watching these people run, and I couldn't figure out why they were running. And then I felt the water. And that water was so cold around my ankles that I literally jumped up and ran. And, I mean, I was asleep, but I jumped up and woke myself up coming up out of my bed. And I think that I might have had something to do with that, or maybe there was someone that may have been related to me somewhere down the line. Or it was possible they just wanted me to see. And what I saw, you know, I didn't want to go out there because I was supposed to have went out there, and which that trip never happened. But at that point, I was real standoffish about the thoughts of going out there over where Titanic went down. I didn't want to do it.
It could have been that you had a past life of it and on the Titanic. Because usually when I get dreams, I do have prophetic dreams. It's usually like, for an example, when I was living in England, usually in the morning time, that's the best time for me to do readings or to get any information because I'm still in a dream mode, I call it.
Mm-hmm.
But so if I wake up and I just get an overwhelming feeling something's wrong, something usually is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up from a dream, and at this time, my husband's friend went to Iraq or Afghanistan. I can't remember which place. And he woke up out of the blue, and I said to my husband, he's getting ready to go to work, and I said, oh, my God, such and such, you know, something's wrong. I said, I feel like something is going to happen to him or something did happen, and it's very close by in the facility. And, you know, he came back, and my husband told him, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think dreams mean a lot, but actually I was reading and doing some research about it. The same that dreams mean symbols and certain things about our life, of what we want in our life. It's also, you know, about what we want to manifest for ourselves. But
mm-hmm.
I do think there's a difference between that and actually prophetic dreams, if you know what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you have, I was reading that if it's colorful, it's more of a prophetic dream. But if it's more black and white, it's more of what you want to manifest for yourself spiritually wise and grow spiritually.
Now I have a lot of color dreams.
Okay.
I do have a lot of color dreams. Now I'll tell you about a case that we did. We went to Point Pleasant and investigated the Mothman. And on the way out there, there was one site in particular that I wanted to go to, and it was Chief Corn Silk. So I got to go, or not Chief Corn Silk, Chief Cornstalk. Sorry about that. But to his grave. And it was like it was pulling at me. I had to go. Well, I was satisfied with that after it was done. You know, it was like, okay, I paid my respects to him, and now I can go on and do my investigation. So we get out there to the TNT area, and I ended up, I think it was me and I think two or three others that became very, very sick. And I didn't think I was going to get out of Point Pleasant. No, it was so bad. But later on, about a week or two later, I had a dream. And in that dream, it was dark. And I was trying to get away. I was in the TNT area, but I could hear screams. It was unlike any type of screaming that I had ever heard. And I have yet to go back to Point Pleasant. I have refused to go back there because of that dream. Because I feel like the spirits that are out there, they're not at rest. They're very unhappy. And they don't want nobody out there. I believe that TNT area is actually sitting over top of a burial ground.
Wow. Yeah, I've never done much research like into the Mothman or anything like that, but I do know that when you do get involved in stuff like that and try to figure it, just you can just get the energy and feel it, and it's like you're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like if you get a gut feeling you're not supposed to go there or do something, it's like that's what your intuitive side is trying to tell you. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. That's like when I was in Taos. You know, I was going to investigate, wanted to investigate, but after what I had experienced, I wouldn't even take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to take a picture. I said, uh-uh, not doing this. I'm not investigating. I'm not doing anything. And I wouldn't because, you know, it was just not, it's not something that needs to be done out there. I'm sure there's teams that do. But, you know, for my own peace of mind, I would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even take a picture. They had some cemeteries out there. It's like 3, 2, 3, 4 years old. I wouldn't even take pictures of them.
Yeah.
Just daytime. I said, nope. You know.
Nope.
Nope. You know, and it's odd because I didn't think, you know, being a paranormal investigator, you know, that's what I do. I have a love for it, you know. But to be in that area and knowing it was that old and it had all that energy around it, I was having nothing doing with taking the pictures. So,
yeah.
I think,
sometimes you have to back away from that and just say, that's something I don't want to deal with.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I totally agree with you.
And I agree with what you said. You definitely have to follow your intuition, especially with stuff like that, because I feel that, you know, sometimes if you feel like you shouldn't do it, there's a reason you shouldn't do it. It's not because you're afraid of it. It's just, you know, that's just what's being imposed on you at that moment. Just don't do it.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, like, again, I just think it's fascinating that people will actually do the, you know, paranormal. And they, you know, I think, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to say, just be rude about it, but I think the paranormal investigating has become popular because of, you know, oh, my God, my favorite show, and I can't even think of it, Ghost Investigations. You know what team I'm talking about, TAPS.
Yeah.
They're the ones that actually brought it out, and, you know, more and more people are coming out more about it, and I think that's really good, but I think they take it way above, if you know what I mean by that.
Exactly.
Do you agree?
I agree, and, you know, it's glamorized on TV versus where it's completely, totally different than, you know, when you go out and do it, it's a lot different than what you see on there. You know, you're not going to get the activity boom, 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 boom. It doesn't work that way. So, yeah, it puts a lot of people out there, and it does put a lot of people in danger, especially the ones that don't know what they're getting into when they go do it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and I'm thankful for you know, for them setting the role for others who are truly, and I'm not implying that TAPS is not, but other, you know, other people that I've seen or, you know, that are not, they're doing it for just the glamour, not for the reality of the point of trying to make someone and trying to help someone.
Right.
It's more for fame. And I'm not implying about TAPS or anything, again, because that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, just some of them, you just see them all the time, and you're like, really? Is it just for fame, or are you really there to help people?
Exactly. You know, and I think that maybe if they would start teaching a little bit more about it versus glamorizing it, people would come to understand more about the field instead of it piquing curiosity and then them thinking that they can just go out and do what they see on TV.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of training involved in the paranormal field. It's not an overnight, you know, overnight you're an investigator. I didn't become an investigator probably until a year after I started. And there's
wow.
still stuff I don't know, but that was because, you know, I was in training, and I stayed in training even after that. But, you know, that was the way the founder of our group was. He wanted you to know the, instead of just the basics, he wanted you to know all the way around the possibilities of what could happen. So I'm lucky that we had someone to train us the way he taught us. And I'm real funny about investigating. You know, we'd go in, we'd set our stuff up, and we had several cameras and all kinds of equipment, and we'd have it all set up, you know. So I ended up being a lot like that. You know, I went out with another team a little while back, and I won't give no names, but I was so dissatisfied because they didn't react the way my team did. My team was there. We'd done, we'd go out and we'd do our job. We didn't take break after break after break after break. But, you know, we would go and do what we went to do. We didn't go to play. You know, it was never a game for any of us.
Well, I think that should be the norm of it. You should be serious about what you do. I mean, it's like anything. It's like your job. You should be, if you like it, you should be serious about it, and you want to get in dots all your I's and your T's, and you want to be serious about it. I mean, like, as a psychic medium, I am serious about what I do, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're always going to have someone who's skeptic, or you're always going to have someone that's going to mess about it and make it worse for the other people. And
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And it's just, you know, it does take training. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. It nothing does. And, you know, if you know that you're doing what you're doing and you're investigating and you're trained for, say, 5 or 6 years, then you're always going to learn. You're always going to have to learn and learn new things. It's like being a teacher or being a doctor. You always have to learn new things, you know?
Exactly.
It comes with any field that you work, and that's what you do.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times, and I've heard some of the bigger named investigators say, you know, there are no experts in this field. And that's true, because we don't have certifications. You know, we don't have a class. I mean, I'm sure I found out recently there's one of the local colleges here that are giving classes on the paranormal field, and which I think is good in a lot of ways, because they teach the basics on the equipment. So you do need to know, when you're using this equipment, what it's for, what it does, you know, and how to read that equipment, because it can be complicated depending what you're looking at. But, you know, there's no experts unless you go into parapsychology, which I think would probably be a very interesting subject to study. But the only thing that I think that does is give you a more grounded understanding of what we do in the long run.
Yes, I do. But I also think it's more of a scientific notion, because if you look at it from a psychic medium's perspective, it's not really scientific, because, you know, you can't explain, you know, why it happens. It's just spiritual. But if you do, like, say, if you're a parapsychologist, or, you know, just an example, just say some investigators, they want to know why it's happening. It's more of a scientific notion than it is more, I say, more spiritual.
Uh-huh.
Do you agree, or what do you think about that?
I agree 100%. And, you know, when I do go out and investigate, the only thing I take with me is a camera and a recorder. I don't use anything else. I'm very familiar with the other equipment, but I prefer a camera and a recorder, because for me, that is the best way to capture, because you could be out and just snap a picture and get, you know, and I'll just put it this way, get lucky and capture something on digital. But you also have to be aware of the fact that a digital camera, the pixels, can actually make it appear to be something too. So you have to know how to rule that out and say, okay, this is what this is versus this. But, you know, that's all I use. I use that, and I use my senses. Because you have to use your senses when you're doing an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I rely a lot more on that than I do anything.
I think I would too. I think I would be, my handy dandy notebook would probably be the camera and the EFMP. Is that what an EF? Yeah. And that would probably be my thing that I would use too.
Mhm. Yes, they really don't take a great lot when you go out and investigate. Of course, you know.
No, but you know, I'm one of those people. I don't mind going by myself, but at the same time. Because, you know, even though I am a psychic medium, I'd be like, oh, my God, what was that? Was that a bird or was that a bear? Or, you know, I'd be freaking out thinking something was in the woods, you know. You know, I'm not afraid of the ghosts. I'm afraid of the animals that are going to attack me or something, you know.
Exactly.
But see, that's what I would want to do, is be involved with people who are professionals and, you know, go around and seeing what they do and learning more about that. So, overall, I think that's just, like I said, I wish it was more acceptable here when we lived, because I'd be doing that, but it's not. But what are you going to do? But, you know, I found it fascinating, though, because you can go, like, say, Virginia, Georgia, Ohio, all those places, it seems to be very good for it, but when you get down more in the south, you're like, no. I don't think so, you know? And it's like, really? And it just seems like where I live, it seems all the other states around it is very accepting, but just my state where I live. And I'm like, okay, how come you can't, you know, join with them and say, okay, we want you to do more and have more investment in paranormal teams. It's not, I don't know, if it's just because it's so southern and because it's the southern, you know, the Bible Belt, I have no clue.
I would think some of it, well, I would think a lot of it would be because it's the Bible Belt, because that's such a taboo subject. Now, I'll tell you something funny. We had a deacon come out on an investigation with us one time because he wanted to see what we'd done. But, you know, thankfully he had an open mind to what we were doing, and I think that's what needs to be a lot more of, because that way it would make it a lot easier for those of us that do believe it, you know. And,
well,
don't think
that because if you have a deacon or a priest that they don't believe in stuff like that, because they have it all in Rome. I'm sure they have it in Rome, and they have the little things that they have, going on with the Catholic religion that they're saying, oh, yeah, we know about exorcisms, and we know, you know, I think they do. I think they just hide it, and I think that, you know, priests are aware of it, and I definitely do think that they are totally aware of the situation. They just don't want to admit it.
Right.
Again, it's
right.
Religion, you know, it's not more of paranormal. They don't want to call it paranormal. They want to call it something different.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you about another case that we had, and this was, it was interesting, and you may find this one interesting, but we had, we went out to this, it was a private home. They had a barn. We hadn't investigated the barn, but it was, we were told, okay, it's got the oldest dwelling on the property. You go check it out. Well, the house itself had several spirits in it, and we decided to go on out and do this barn. Well, we got there in the barn and started doing our EVP session. Well, I noticed that I started feeling like, I knew I wasn't angry, but I could feel anger. And it started building. And while we're standing there, it gave me the impression of almost like a child hiding behind a tree, peeking out. But it got so intense, this anger, and all the while I'm sort of thinking, okay, well, I know I'm not mad. Why am I feeling this anger? Because I wasn't thinking this of what was going on at that point. And I never responded. Well, when I didn't respond, it peaked real big, and then it was gone. The investigator beside me got scratched.
Ah.
Why it didn't scratch me, I don't know. I was the only female there that night. We had four other guys. There was four guys and then myself. But the investigator beside me got scratched.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had anything like that happen to you in any investigations that you went to?
Yes, I did. I had, matter of fact, I was in New York at the Shanley Inn, and something had gotten, we were in the gentleman's quarters, and I was filming this, and in the process of filming this, I felt like something was choking me.
Mm.
So I asked her, after a few minutes trying to figure out, you know, if it was just me or not, and I was like, finally asked her, I said, has anybody been choked in this room? And she gets this funny look on her face, and she says, no, I don't think so. Well, later on, her husband told me that there had been someone a couple weeks prior to that that did experience the same thing. But when it let go of me, I felt it running. It felt like something cut me straight down my neck and into the upper part of my chest.
Interesting.
That's a real active place.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's why I said you have to shield yourself or protect yourself, because you can bring that stuff home with you, and it's, you know, that's, I think, you know, even though I enjoy doing what I do, and a part of me is like, I don't want all these spirits coming home with me.
Right.
You know, I mean, it can manifest and it become more than just the energy that it already has been caught, if you can imagine. Having all those energies in your house, whew, that'd be a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think anybody really wants that, because the ones that don't understand don't realize just how time-consuming, so to speak, it is, you know, because you're constantly dealing with it, and then it's draining you, too. And it's never good to keep them in your home, even if they're not a bad spirit, because those positive spirits, so to speak, they also pull energy from you, and after a while it takes a toll on your body, so you're better to have them, send them on over if possible. Yeah, I mean, it's better that way, but you know, you do have people that, no, I'm not going to do anything with it, it's not bad or anything, but really in another sense it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Hello?
How you find. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep, I can.
Okay. All right, good. I don't know how you feel about that. What is your opinion on whether they should keep
them? If they should, no. I think that, you know, if it's, well, my personal belief on that is I think that if it's not interfering in your life, because,
mm-hmm.
My perspective, I think that you have ghosts and spirits. There's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion. That's how I see it. And I feel that if you have a ghost, it's like religion. It was like it's just going on and on like a record player. It just keeps on going on and the same thing. But spirits are different. I think that it does. It's more like, how can I explain it? You're able to hear it, see it, or feel it. And that's what I'm getting from more of spirits. It's like they haven't passed over or they haven't moved on. And with the ghosts, it's just because it's just there like a record player. You can hear it or see it because it's, you know, like if someone's walking always upstairs and if someone died, you probably would hear that same resonant and that same thing pattern of going on, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So do I think that should it be gone out of your house? I don't think that if it's not interfering with your house, I don't think it should. I think it just let it be. But if it's more of a poltergeist or more interfering with your family and your daily life in your house, then yes. And if it's taking over, yes. But otherwise, I think that if it's not doing anything, you just notice it a couple of times or you just feel it and nothing's coming up out of it, no. Because, I mean, you know, this rituals that you can do to send it on the other way, to send it on the other side, and I think that's what, you know, if you feel comfortable of doing. But in my opinion, I think if it's not bothering you, I don't think so. What do you think?
I agree. I think you're right about that. A lot of times I've heard people, you know, noises or, you know, they'll talk about hearing little noises here and there, but they don't pay any attention to it and it doesn't really affect them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think you're right. The ones that I would be more fearful of would be the more negative ones that lash out.
Yeah, like the poltergeist that start, you know, moving stuff in, start throwing stuff, you know. That's mm-hmm. the, again, glamorizing of a poltergeist. I haven't been involved in one of those. But I think, again, if it's interfering in your family and your family's becoming scared of it and it is negative, well, then you need to do something. But if you just notice it and it's just chilling out, why bother? It's not doing anything.
That's true, too. That's true. And, yeah, I guess you shouldn't really bother it if it's not bothering you. Sometimes they could be a residual, which is just, what you're talking about, the repeat, just over and over and over. You know, it repeats the same thing a certain time of day, you know, every day or ever so many days. You know, that's more, I'm sure a lot of people do experience those, especially in the older homes and land, like with battlefields and so forth. But,
well, you know, a lot of people ask me, okay, so if you have a house, say if it's only 6 years old, and nothing you know aware of is happening in the house, well, I shouldn't say that. The house was just built 6 years ago, say, for an example,
mm-hmm.
and you started noticing activity in your house, and people will be like, well, how is that activity if the house is only 6 years old? Well, I tell people it's not the house, it's the land.
Exactly.
You know, you can have a house that was just built in 2012, but the land's been there for God knows how long, you know. I mean, years and centuries. And something else could have been there, and something else, some other form of energy or somebody that used to live there died or whatever, and their energy's still there. So, I mean, I don't think it matters, like, the house itself. I think it's more of the land. Because to go back to my story, my ghost story, I think it was more of the land. I don't think it was the house.
Right. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I had someone ask me, was talking about going to a location and the house was no longer there. And her question is, well, it's not haunted. If there's nothing there, the house is gone, then why would there be anything there? And mm-hmm. it was the same thing. It's the land. You know, that's. And I think that's what a lot of cases, it's not necessarily the house, it's the land. So that's the reason why where we come in with the research on it, we can back that up and find what's been there, you know, nine times out of ten.
Now, how would one go do research on that? Would they look up, excuse me, for a historian? Is that one way of doing research on it?
That is one way of doing it. Now, I will go down, for instance, we had a museum that we did. And I was thinking about that one earlier, but we done, I went in and I done the research. I went down to the local courthouse. They have a lot of public records. You can go in. All I need is an address. I take an address or the name of the people that owns it and trace it back. And I can find out what's been there prior to the building that's sitting on it, you know, currently. And a lot of times I've traced it back as early as the mid 1700s. You know, I go back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I should do that with a place I lived in Oklahoma. Because I was not able to find out. My allergies are really bad, sorry. I'm not able to find out what was on that land, but I do know that the Air Force Base was there, I think, in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was on that land. So I was trying to find out the land, so that's a really good idea. Maybe we should call them and see if they have any court records.
There should be court records, land sales, and you should be able to trace it back that way. All you would have to do is take the address to the house that you had, that you were living in,
mm-hmm.
and trace it back.
Hmm.
And it may show that, you know, it can get complicated because, you know, you go into the tracts of the land, which becomes bigger, bigger, bigger tracts, you know, and then it's kind of hard to figure out where your track of land is once you do that, but it gives you an idea of what was there prior to that base being there.
You ever see that? The problem with that, it'd probably be difficult because it is government.
Possibly, because what they would have to have maybe court records, public records, possibly, find out who owned the land prior to them. And it could have belonged to the state. I mean, it's possible the state had that way before the government bought it.
It could have been. I mean, you don't know. It could have been tons of Native Americans that lived in that set of land.
I don't know.
I'm just curious about what the heck was there before.
Now, I can tell you that Altus, there was the original town of Altus is more like, I think, 3 miles outside of Altus, further west, 3 miles west of where Altus actually stands.
Really? Is it near Blair?
No. It's actually, like, if you're going to go towards, oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think of the little town, Childers, like, if you're going to go towards Childers, Texas.
Okay, yep.
It's 3 miles that way.
Vernon, you mean? Because Vernon is just, like, right down the road.
Well, no, it's not quite towards Vernon. You don't want to go straight. You're not going south. It's the opposite direction. You're more or less going west.
Okay.
But it's towards Childers, Texas, out that way, and it's 3 miles out. But I can't remember the name of what the town was, but the town flooded out, and there were a lot of people that died. There's an old cemetery on the outside of town out there that's the oldest cemetery. And it's pretty fascinating to go out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go back out there. I didn't like it too much. It was too hillbilly. No offense to anybody who's a hillbilly, but it was too much for me. I was like, nobody's here. How can people live here, you know? But again, I'm not raised and born there, so I'm not used to it. But it was a very cool place. I do have to admit, any people who's from Altus, it is a great place, but it's not for moi. You know? But it was a very interesting place. Again, you know, it has a lot of culture, Native American culture, and I definitely would go back just to see some of the tribes because we never were able to do that, and just to see how they interact with each other and how their cultures run. That would be fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree it is, and I'm the same way. Altus is not for me. I was out there for 2 years, and it just didn't have enough mountains. Because I'm from Virginia.
Well, it had some mountain things going on. I don't know if they were valleys or something, but it just, I don't know how the town is now, but if they built it out more, I think it would be more, much better. Because I remember just having a big, huge Walmart, and that was it.
That's pretty much what's still there. I was down there in March, and it's pretty much the same. I think they've added a hotel or two.
Oh, my Lord.
Actually, they had.
Yeah, no. My friend asked me, actually, this is funny. She's been from Anchorage, Alaska, and she's in the military, and she's like, I'm going to Altus, Oklahoma. And I started laughing. I was like, good luck. She's like, why? I'm like, because there's nothing there.
That's true.
There's nothing there. I'm like, if you want to go anywhere, you have to go to Lawn, which is like 45 minutes away. I'm like, yep, there's nothing. It's just drive and you see cows and flat and it's nothing there. And she's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, nope, I'm not.
It's true. It's like 40 miles in any direction, really. You got.
But, you know, I mean, for me, I shouldn't be saying anything because, you know, people do live there and, you know, they obviously like it there. But again, you know, if you're not used to that culture, well, you know, you're not used to that culture and you can't accept something that you don't like. But again, you know, I have moved around a lot of places and I just wouldn't recommend that for me.
Right. Well, I think we both can agree there's a lot of good people there. There's a lot of good people out there. They do, you know, they do show a lot of hospitality to people that come in. And that is a good thing about Altus. And it is a laid-back community. I always say they're 20 years behind their time, but, you know.
Yep, they are. And another place that I have to say that's really nice is down in Biloxi, Mississippi.
I've not been there.
I have met, because I first went down there in 1997, and it was much different than it probably is today. I haven't been there since. But the people were so nice. Because, again, I'm from Boston, so we're rude. And, you know, we're trying to bite each other's heads off. And it had to be the most relaxing and very hospitality people I've ever met. And I haven't been there since Katrina. And my husband told me it's much different because all the casinos and stuff are no longer there because of Katrina. But I really liked it there. I enjoyed it. The people were so nice. I mean, it was a nice place. But it is a very low-income state, and the education is not good. I've noticed, actually, even here in Louisiana, I've noticed all in the southern states the education is not good. It's not where it should be.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, that the education is a lot different. But, you know, I that's why I'm saying, you know, they're kind of behind, but, you know, that's just, Oklahoma.
Hey, that's okay. You know, I mean, they always say, oh, the Europeans are ahead. I have to agree, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And education-wise, they are. I have to agree, because I lived over there for 6 years, and they are quite ahead in education-wise.
Well, I hate to do this, but we're down the last 2 minutes of the show.
Okay.
Do you want to tell everybody how they can get in contact with you?
Yeah, you can contact me on Twitter. It's Antoinette, Antoinette, 99, or it's 3175 at the end. Or you can contact me on Facebook, and it's going to be Psychic Medium Antoinette, Antoinette. It's been a pleasure with you. I enjoyed it. You'll have to come on my show once I get it running up and all that stuff. You also can contact me at Blog Talk Radio, Psychic Readings with Antoinette. I do free readings on Friday, and it's at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay. Well, I would definitely enjoy coming on your show. I've had a great time this evening talking to you, and hope you'll come back on again.
Well, thank you. I hope you accept me back, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, most definitely. And then I'll give you a call a little bit later, and I'll let you know about what we were talking about earlier. But,
okay.
Well,
thank you so much.
And thank you. Well,
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. You have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. Okay. I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to Spirit Travels Radio this evening. That was Antoinette Zaleski. Please do go to her website that she gave and contact her if you need to. She's a great lady. But everybody have a great evening and good night.